Okay, the first question I'm going to ask you is when you first came across Delmar Vreeland.
My first biggest sale at the store that I work at was to an eccentric mid-30s, early-30s fella, kind of hyper, and you could just tell that he came from a wealthy family or that he had money. Anyway, he bought approximately $30,000 worth of stuff. On delivery, he was $10,000 short, so we didn't deliver. He was irritated. He came in the store, raised a ruckus. We still didn't deliver. So the next day, he brought his brand new stepdad in, and his stepfather co-signed for a charge, and we put the $10,000 on the charge. And that's how I became aware of him. Well, prior to that, the stepfather came in 2 years after we delivered the first load and had me paged, and he was just livid. What had happened was, and I learned this from him, that Delmar never made one payment, so he was stuck for the $10,000, and by the time he realized it, probably another $6,000 in interest, and he was upset. I felt terrible, but there was nothing I could do about it. So then, the next time that I came across anybody from that family was, I think it was in 2 years ago, Christmas time, maybe 3 or 4 days before Christmas. And it was around 8 o'clock at night, which should have been a dead giveaway. We close at 9, and two fellows came in, went to our receptionist, and pointed to me and said they would wait. I was busy. I didn't get done till 9:10. I walked up and apologized, and this voice said to me, I'm moving tomorrow. I need everything. I want you to do it, but only if you remember who I am. But the minute he opened his mouth, I knew who he was, simply because of what had happened before. You don't forget. And because of what he did to his stepdad, I was being cautious.
So this person was Delmar Vreeland?
Definitely. Yes, definitely.
And you know this because that was the name on his credit card?
No, he changed his name.
The second time he came in then, he buys another $40,000 worth of furniture?
Anywhere from $40,000 to $43,000 or thereabouts.
If you include the Christmas tree. You're the person who sold him the Christmas tree that we were reading about in the Detroit News articles, correct?
Yes, that's true.
And you made an interesting comment to me earlier also that you weren't even selling the tree.
We have never sold a tree before in all of our history. We use them for decoration. We had to call the owner at home, and he gave us the price, and he said, I'm sure he won't buy it, and then you guys can go home, because this was a day before Christmas, I think.
But he really wanted a tree, so he spent the $3,000 tree, which seems incredibly extravagant to us.
Yes, it was extravagant.
He ended up buying that from you.
And we loaded it into his brand new Navigator.
And he paid for the furniture and the tree how?
I never touch any of the money, so when I took him to the office, he said to everyone, and you have to understand that he is probably one of the smoothest people and one of the most intelligent people I've ever run across. He said to the office, do you take American Express? We said yes. He said, well, when American Express mailed me out my new card, somebody got it from the mail and charged $25,000 on it. He said it was horrendous for him to get that off of there, which I, you know, could certainly understand. And he said he worked out a deal with American Express where that if he punched in his PIN number, they would approve it. If he didn't, they would think it was the fraud person and they would turn it down. And he said because of what happened to him, we wanted all of us to turn our backs so he could punch in his PIN number and we wouldn't see it. But because I was being cautious, I turned around and watched. He punched in three numbers, and the Zen machine printed out all the approvals. Because I was being cautious, I also made the manager go out to the parking lot and copy down his license plate number, but that was to no avail because that was a rented, stolen car.
Did you see the credit card that he used to purchase the goods from your establishment?
Yes, I did.
And did it have his name on it?
It made me even more leery of what was going on, because he had just changed his name. Instead of being, his real name is Delmar Edward Vreeland. He made his name be Edward Delmar. And when I saw that, I said to him, what's this? And he said that somebody was after him in Michigan and he didn't want to get killed or something to that effect. And that's why he legally changed his name. And he had a passport to go along with it.
Did you weren't provided any documentation, though, were you, of the name change? I'm sure that requires some kind of court procedure there.
Well, I'm sure it does, but no, he had plenty of ID. He had his driver's license, he had the passport, he had the credit card, and he had a ton of other stuff.
And it all had an alias.
Right, but it looked very real. I mean, everything, I'm sure that it was real, I guess.
At what point did you realize you'd been ripped off?
I didn't know probably until February. I was being very cautious, and by taking down his license plate number, and believe me, we had him sign everything on just the right lines and everything, only because I wanted everybody to know that I was leery. But we always felt that American Express had it together, and if they were approving, that would be fine. So we didn't know until February, and that's when the owners came and got me and said that it was fraud.
And they were alerted by the local authorities?
No, we were alerted by by American Express.
Ah. So who was left on the hook for that debt?
We were.
You mean the store you work for?
The store that I work for. All of it.
Can you explain about how that works? I mean, it went through their system, obviously.
I thought that, too. I thought once they give you an approval number, and you know, I'm not as technical as Delmart. Delmart is a computer genius and definitely mechanically inclined. I just always thought that if you get an approval code, and he had all, I mean, we made copies of everything. He had all the proper ID, but in February, they took the money back. They don't even tell you. They send you a notice that they're going to charge you back, and they took it.
So what actions did you take then as a result of being notified by the credit company or credit card company that you were in the hole for over 40 grand?
We went immediately to the police station.
And this is, we're not going to say actually where it is.
Please.
We'll just say it's a local police department in the state of Michigan.
Correct.
And you spoke to the officers there. And what were they able to tell you anything or help at all?
Well, we filed charges, yes, and they went after him, but they already knew who he was. He has an extensive record here in the States.
So what happened next then? You went to the police. Did the police ever tell you that they had that he'd been captured, or how did that work?
After we went to the police, I was so devastated because, I mean, it's a horrible amount of money to have to pay the consequences on, and because I felt like a fool, I hired a private detective and paid for it out of my own pocket, and that's when I became really aware of Delmart Breland and what he does, and this is how he earns his living.
What was the private investigator able to tell you? And you're talking about Al Booz here, just for clarification?
Correct.
Okay. What was he able to tell you?
Well, he started watching, and we did a lot of research, and he was able to tell me, first of all, and I didn't know this at the time, the brand new Navigator was most certainly not his. He goes and he rents his cars at airports, normally in Michigan, and then when it's time to take them back and they get hot, he takes them to a different state and deposits, you know, we'll leave them there and bring back a different car. So that's how he gets all of his cars. Every time we delivered, he had a new car, a lot of new cars in his garage. What happened was the last time that Mr. Booz was able to have a track on Delmart was when he took the hot Navigator to Indiana, saw a car of his dreams, which was a Porsche, I believe it was a used one, waited for the Porsche dealership to close, broke and entered, deposited the stolen Navigator along with the bad ID that he used at my store, and took one other thing along with the Porsche. He took all the hard drives out of their computers. He did that for two reasons. One, to slow up the process of the Porsche being reported stolen, and the other thing is whoever buys Porsches would probably have good credit and he could assume their name. But he was a little bit inebriated, drove into a ditch, got arrested, but by then, because he is so intelligent and smooth, he had already memorized his new identity and went before the judge. The judge sees this man with impeccable ID, never even had a traffic ticket, and says to him, "Whoa, did you have a bad day or what?" And he said yes, and the judge gave him let him go on bond. He never reappeared. But that's not the only time he's done that either.
The question I have is he bought the Christmas tree, which you immediately loaded into the Navigator van.
Right.
One would think it would be a huge Christmas tree, but I guess not, right?
Oh, no, we did have trouble getting it into the van, so one of the lights broke. He did call and complain about one light, but then he never pursued it. He wanted to know if he could bring it back.
Right. Now, the furniture would have been delivered at a later time. Is that correct?
No, we're a high-end furniture store, so we don't ever deliver real fast. It's just because, I mean, it takes a lot to get everything going. He tried to tip each driver. He wanted to tip them $1,000 each, but we told him that was way out of line. So he tipped each driver $400, and we delivered the next day to an apartment, a brand-new apartment.
And the $400, of course, went on to the American Express card.
No, he paid that by check.
Which were bad.
No, they weren't.
They weren't.
You know, that's the other thing I thought. How did the drivers get their money? But the checks were good. He never made one rent payment at the apartment, and they evicted him.
So then, did you ever find out what happened to the furniture that was
in... I'd love to be able to talk to him to ask him that. We would love to get it back. I would love to know what he did with it, because it doesn't make sense.
Well, what do you mean it doesn't make sense?
Where did he put it? He was only in the apartment for less than 60 days. Where did he take the furniture? Why did he take it? I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me.
What kind of furniture was it?
Very high-end, wonderful things. He bought bedroom sets, living room sets, dining room set, mattresses, Christmas tree.
So $40,000 worth of furniture. That's a lot of furniture.
Yes.
Even at a high-end store, that's you're furnishing a whole apartment.
Right.
You
I've spoken to his stepdad. Well, first of all, then I didn't hear anything else until I talked to Ron. And I was horrified at what I heard. I mean, I laughed because I couldn't believe that people could be this stupid. He has nothing to do with the U.S. government. And I'm confident that the way that he did this is because he's so electronically inclined. But I'm not.
Now, Judy, have you seen a picture of him?
Oh, I know him frontwards, backwards.
Right, but has Ron sent you any pictures that we have seen on the Internet?
No, and I went on the Internet. I didn't see a picture of him on there.
Did you see one on the Oakland County Sheriff's Department site?
I have that picture myself.
And you're saying that Delmart Vreeland is the same person as is pictured on the Oakland County Sheriff's Department website?
Definitely.
That's the
he
same guy.
He does try to change his looks a little bit when he gets arrested, but he gets arrested a lot. I also work with a fellow that grew up with him and used to hang around with him and used to hang around at his house a lot. The way that Delmart first started making money was, or maybe he was making money long before that, he had an Internet business where he would sell brand new computers at a discount price, but he never delivered one computer. All those people lost their money.
Do you know what era that was?
That was the first time that I ever came across him. That's what he was doing then. And
so
he had all those rented stolen cars in his garage.
So this was late 97, possibly?
Right, but I never knew that until after I hired the private investigator.
Right. So the private investigator, in the end, didn't end up really recovering any of your property or really providing any information other than other information about what else he'd been doing in other places.
Oh, he kept a real close watch. When he went to Canada, he was more or less, I think, instrumental in getting them picked up. At least that's what I believe.
Al Booz came to Canada?
No, he didn't go to Canada, but he was keeping a very close watch. He pretty well could tell me what city he was in, but we needed to wait for the police to pick him up. The other sad part was, and he needed to be one jump ahead of them, and we did that as much as we could, simply because he was so smooth and slick that he had everything down to a system. He'd get arrested, and the only time that they would do your fingerprints is if there was something suspicious, that they didn't believe you or something. But Delmart is so smooth and it's so believable, and he definitely has a gift of gab, that every time he got arrested, people would just believe that that was the name that he was using, whatever name he was using, and they never ran the fingerprints. So the police stations would turn around and bond him out, thinking that because he was using a different name and that person didn't have a record, they'd bond him out and then he'd be long gone. And this has gone throughout the whole United States. What he had done prior to that was he went and he did his normal thing where he goes and he rents his cars and keeps them. This time he rented a BMW, I think it was. And I used to live in Florida, so I know exactly where he went. It's one of the most elite boat areas in all of Florida. He went there, and he got a young salesperson who I feel sorry for. Anyway, and it was either on the pretense of a wire transfer or else he wrote him a check out of a closed account. He bought a huge boat, and he'd never driven the boat before, so he had no clue what to do, got himself into a little bit of a jam or an accident, dove overboard and swam back to the shore to go back to his BMW, but the police were waiting for him. But that salesperson lost his job. No, I had heard, and I, but now remember, the only reason I have access, to, or the only reason I know all of this, is because I paid for a private detective. I'm the one that paid him, so naturally he would report to me. And he's very credible. I mean, Mr. Booz is one of the most ethical people I've ever run across. Okay, but we weren't sure, and I've been in touch with the police department. We weren't sure if our case was the biggest. So whoever had the biggest case, whichever state it was, were the ones that were going to get him first. So we were not sure if Michigan would get him first. He has other charges in the United States that he has to go before.
So are your employers, they lost money from this transaction?
Right.
Or if we can call it that.
Right.
Are they at all, have they expressed any interest over the years of, or over the time that this has happened in getting retribution, or have they just written it off and prefer not to talk about it because it's a sore point?
Well, it's definitely a sore point. Mm-hmm. I do make them aware whenever I hear anything, but that's it. I think they would love to be able to recoup their loss. I know I would.
Have you ever been in touch with you mentioned that when I called you and told you about what he'd been saying up here last week? And your initial reaction, which I felt bad at the time because I felt I was really upsetting you. You seemed really upset.
Well, because I don't want to see him get away with it.
Well, my question is, have you been in touch with any of the people who have written the articles or perhaps any of the Canadian authorities?
No, I didn't know how to contact them, but no. And I was instrumental in getting articles written over here in Michigan. In fact, we called him Michigan's Most Wanted, and I was able to get it on Channel 2, 4, and 7, simply so that we could try to catch him. Because it's terrible what he does to people. I mean, he can ruin your life in 2 minutes.
Well, we have had some suspicions that he can do quite amazing things.
He can, and I'm going to tell you this much. The fact that he dialed the Pentagon and got a secretary that gave out his room number and said he works for the government, that is a joke. He did that through a telephone and voicemail. I am telling you, I have talked to his family. He is not working for the government.
Have you ever met his father?
Not his real father, no.
But his stepfather you have met?
Oh, yes, I have. I cannot reveal what his name is. He doesn't want to be involved. He doesn't want to have anything more to do with him. Delmart has probably taken in to the cleaners to the tune of about $300,000.
Have you ever heard of any connections with organized crime and Delmart Vreeland?
Yes, I have. Now, do you want to know what that was about?
Yes.
At one time, he got married, supposedly. I don't even know if he was really married. This was when I first met him. He was with a girl, and the mother told me that that was his new wife. I'm sure that her marriage to him was, if they were married, of course, you know, I don't believe everything he tells me anymore. If they were married, I'm sure it wasn't probably the greatest marriage. So she eventually started dating somebody in the mafia.
While she was married to him?
Yes, supposedly. But I don't even know for sure if he was ever really married. I'm just telling you what the mother told me.
Have you ever come across anyone else from his family?
Only like a half-brother, or, you know, from the new stepdad's family. Oh, here's one more thing I wanted to tell you, and I know I'm going off in spurts, but I just get so emotionally. when I went online and I was reading Mike Rupert's article, before I even got halfway through, or before I even started to read it, you have to go into Google in Canada to be able to get over there to see it. I thought to myself, oh my gosh, I hope he's not online, because if he sees that I'm looking, he'll do something to my computer. Then I go on to read Mike Rupert's, and he thinks that the U.S. government tried to destroy his computer. Did you read that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we did.
Virus?
Yes.
Let me tell you, it wasn't the government. It was Delmart Vreeland just to keep the heat on. To make everything be, do you understand what I'm saying?
To make it look like the story that he's telling is true.
Right. All right. And you have to know how good he is with computers. He is a genius. The other thing I came across online was his half-brother, a Terry Woodbury, has a site on there. So I wanted to get a hold of him.
Were you able to?
Just to let him know that what was going on. I've never met him, but I knew that he would know who I was. So I tried to reach him, but all of a sudden all of his stuff is gone. So I'm sure that Delmart did that to him too.